God is good, isn't he? Well, I'm honored to stand before you. Just thankful to Pastor Dave and Ina for trusting me with this privilege, you know. I want to thank those of you who have prayed with me and for me. Let's go ahead and get started. Amen. I feel like, the scripture says that God inhabits the praises of his people. And we've had praise this morning, you know. Yeah. Feel the presence of God, you know, among us. And just excited to see what he's going to do. So, Father, I just say thank you. And, Lord, I'm just surrender myself to you. And just thank you, Lord God, that you are my strength. You are my hope. God, you are my strong deliverer. And I thank you, Lord God, that this message is from you for your people. In Jesus' name, amen. So I want to tell you a little bit about how this message came about. And for anyone who's ever taught or delivered a message, you know that it's not necessarily an easy task, right? So, in hindsight, today I can say that I see now how God orchestrated the steps that led to me standing here today. As some of you are already aware, last Sunday I made an announcement about a 24-hour prayer here at River of Life. And I want to say, as of this morning, we were one-third signed up. We still have two-thirds to go, maybe a little bit over one-third. Because I calculated wrong. I said we needed 59 people, and we actually needed 96 people to take 15-minute increments, okay? But we have a third of that covered. And I would say to you, if you are a part of River of Life, or you feel like you want to just knit yourself with us for a season and take a 15-minute increment every Saturday and just pray for this ministry. And toward the end, I'm going to give you some specific prayer points, okay? So it's my desire today that what I share will encourage and provoke. Yes, people, just pray. Start praying. Just pray. Holy Nabashi, the Rabosote, and Nabashe, the Rabasote, and Nabashe. Sada Rabashi, Torono Sot, Ha, Rabashe, Satanabashe, and Serabasho de Basha Tarabaka. Bless you, Lord. Glory to your name, Lord God. Father, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. So, Father, we just pray Psalms 91 over our pastor, which says, he who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, hallelujah, my refuge, my fortress, my God, in whom I trust. For he will deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the deadly pestilence. So, Lord, whatever is attacking his body, Lord, we're saying you are his deliverer, Lord. Lord, you will cover him with your pinions, and under your wing he will find refuge. You are his faithfulness, Lord. You are his shield and buckler. He will never fear the terror of night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor pestilence that stalks in the darkness, nor destruction that wastes at noonday. 1,000 may fall at his side, 10,000 at his right hand, but it will not come near him. You will only look with your eyes and see the recompense of the wicked. Because, Pastor, you have made the Lord your dwelling place, the Most High, who is your refuge. No evil shall be allowed to befall you. No plague come near your tent. For he will command his angels concerning you and guard you in all your ways. On their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against the stone. You will tread on the lion and the adder. The young lion, the serpent, will trample underfoot. Because he holds fast to me. You hold fast to the Lord. You will deliver Pastor Day. You will protect him because he knows your name. When he calls upon you, you will answer. Thank you, Lord, that you'll be with him in trouble. You will rescue him and honor him. And with long life will you satisfy him and show him your salvation. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We bless you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Doorkeepers, they're not helping and they're just being spectators, ask people to come back inside, please. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Bless you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Okay. So they said that, you know, he was conscious, and the ambulance is now here, so. Lord, we thank you, Lord God, that our pastor's in your hands. And we just pray for those that are around him to help him. And Pastor Ina, thank you, Lord. So, hallelujah. I was starting to say my desire in what I share today is to encourage, provoke, excite, and motivate us for more prayer. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. So in January, I did a teaching in healing rooms about unity in the body of Christ. My heart was just kind of heavy because there seemed to be some schisms and some strife and that I was aware of, and it really bothered me, you know, and I was looking to the Lord for answers. And in the process of preparing that lesson, the Lord gave me the idea and thought of a 24-hour prayer. And I said, well, Lord, how would we do that? And the conclusion was that we would do it one day a week, around the clock, people in this church would be praying. And then I believe he said, do it on Saturday. Start Saturday morning and end it when we come together at church and we're praying Sunday morning. Unfortunately, I wasn't quick to obey that. I actually, I didn't share it with anybody. I tried to reason not with God, but I kept thinking, Lorraine, did you really hear that? Are you sure? You know, I wasn't as trusting maybe as I needed to be. And I held on to that for about a month. Then Isabel comes. And what does she talk about the first night? Prayer. So I told, then I had shared with Pastor Kimberly. And then I told Pastor Dave, I think, that following Sunday when Isabel and Theron was still here. When they were here on Saturday, I actually had driven Debbie's car to church because she was out of town, and she asked me to drive her car because she didn't want it sitting for a whole week. So I drove her car, and I made a stop on my way home. And when I was getting out of the car, and I think because it wasn't my car, I wasn't familiar with the height of the door. But when I stood up, the tip of the door caught my chin. And boy, did it hurt. Boy, did it hurt. I wanted to scream. I didn't. But I thought, I'm going to have a bruise. I'm going to have a cut. And I did have a cut on the inside of my mouth. I was thinking, did I damage a tooth? But I didn't have any bruising. I didn't, you know, damage a tooth. Just a little soreness and that inside scratch for a couple of days. But as I was driving home, this thought came to me that my mouth or my face was no defense against the metal of that car. And then immediately a second thought came that it's, and I'm not sure exactly, I can't remember specifically what it was, but it had to do with going against the prick. And I thought, Lord, what does that mean? So when I got home, I started looking for scriptures because I knew it was in the Bible, but I didn't remember the context at the time. Yeah, it was in Acts chapter 9, verse 4 through 6. And it was when Saul, who was Paul, was fighting against the Lord. And I said, God, am I doing that? Am I fighting against you? And, you know, and he was suffering in the process. Well, I don't know if I was suffering, but I was kind of agonizing, you know, what do I do with this? And then I searched a little bit further because I wanted to know about the prick or the gourd. And what I found out about that is that it's a pointed stick that was used to urge stubborn animals to move. It's like, oh, ouch. That's one of those where you can say, just say, oh me, Lord help me, you know? And sometimes what would happen is the animal that would refuse to move, they would kick against the prick. And what would happen is that it would stick them. I mean, because it was either made out of metal or wood, and it means to hurt by resistance. So I was resisting and I was hurting because I hadn't acted on what I believe God had given me. And so and one of the things I found out too is that we can do that unknowingly, or we can do that knowingly. And often if we do it knowingly, it's because we don't care. Well, I think I was doing it unknowingly. I didn't realize I was maybe kicking against the prick. So then a couple of days later, I read a scripture in Numbers chapter 22, and it had to do with Balaam and Balak. And the thing that stood out to me when I read those scriptures was that Balaam was being asked to curse Israel, and he couldn't do it. It was like my face couldn't handle that metal on the car. And I want to say this too. I don't believe God caused that to happen, But like with my daughter, and I'm sure you've done with your children, things happen, right? Stuff happens. It became a teachable moment between me and the Lord, you know? So he didn't, I don't think he caused it to happen. He didn't mean for it, just happened. And he used it as an opportunity to teach me. Amen. And what I learned from the Numbers 22 scripture was that when God has spoken something, you can't change it. You can fight against it, you can resist it, but you can't change it. And there was an attempt there to curse God's people. And I just want to encourage you with that word, it ain't gonna happen. And he says toward the end of that chapter, must I not be obedient and speak what the Lord has put in my mouth? Okay. So even though that's not the focus of my message to you today, I wanted to give you that backdrop. Okay? Because it didn't come together easily, because I thought, Lord, how do I tie all this together? And then he finally started showing me how to, you know, put the dots together. All my life, I've been around prayer. Richard was saying, you know, he was in the Catholic Church. I was in the Baptist Church. And so there was always prayer meetings, prayer times. In my home, there was prayer. You know, we had to say grace at mealtime. You know, you did prayers before you went to bed at night. And always on Christmas morning, before you could open a gift, we had to pray. And those seemed to be the longest prayers my mom would pray. Even in elementary school, I remember there was prayer in school. And we always said the Pledge of Allegiance to the flag. And I grew up hearing old hymns. And when I was writing this, I don't know why this one came to mind, but that one, take the name of Jesus with you wherever you go. And some of the words to that are, child of sorrow and of woe, it will joy and comfort give you. Take it with you wherever you go. Take the name of Jesus ever as protection everywhere. If temptation rounds you gather, breathe that holy name in prayer. Precious name, oh how sweet, hope of earth and joy of heaven. Precious name, oh how sweet, hope of earth and joy of heaven. It was in the mid-70s, though, after receiving the baptism in the Holy Spirit, that my life and my prayer life changed dramatically. A lot of books were out. Many of you probably remember those. One I remember was, Could You Not Pray for 1 Hour? Prayers That Availeth Much. Purpose of Prayer. How to Pray. Praying through the Bible, you know. And many, many others. There was a lot of literature about prayer. I was also, during that time in my life, introduced to all-night prayer. In the church I was in, we would, as a church family, go in on Friday night, whole families, yeah, shut-ins. They called them shut-ins. We would go in on Friday night, and we didn't go home until after church on Sunday. People would bring their children. You know, there would be people sometimes sleeping, sometimes praying. You know, moms would put their babies down and their kids, and, you know, and then we would just keep praying. Then I was introduced to early morning prayer. We prayed five to seven Monday through Friday and 6 to 8 on Saturday. And I have to tell you all something funny. Someone asked me Wednesday night, well, how long are we going to do this 15-minute prayer? I asked the same question when they told me we were going to have early morning prayer. How long? And the answer was, you know, till Jesus comes, you know. I mean, you know. And it was the hardest thing for me at first to acclimate to early morning prayer. And I had this dear sister and mentor. She called me every morning. I'm ashamed to say how long it was. And she'd say, Sister Lorraine, it's time to get up. And I'd say, yes, ma'am, and go back to sleep. And finally, I got up and I got myself to the building for prayer. And I got on my knees and we had chairs like this, and I put my face in the chair and I went to sleep. But finally, it took, you know? And I think even until I came, well, even after I came to Raleigh over 25 years ago, we were still having early morning prayer, you know? I was introduced to intercessory prayer, the kind where, like many of you know, I came to Raleigh as a part of a church plant. And part of that for me is being on the intercessory prayer team. I came not only on Sunday, but I came Tuesday night. And I would pick my daughter up. We'd drive to Raleigh, stop maybe in South Hill, get her some dinner, come wherever we were going to pray that night. And it wasn't an hour of prayer. We prayed until the Holy Ghost said stop. And sometimes it might be 12, 1 o'clock in the morning. She had a pillow and blanket in the back seat. She'd go to sleep. Sometimes I'd have to stop at a rest stop and sleep a little bit to get back to Richmond, get her in the house, get up and go to work the next day. The grace of God was on me to do that. And I commuted here for 2.5 years before moving here. And that was pretty much my schedule. We came on Sundays and came on Tuesday, where you really carried a burden for prayer, for people's needs. I was introduced to the different types of prayer, the positions of prayer, prayer and fasting. We did every year Daniel's fast. I got to the point I did not like spinach very much. And people got very creative. French fries became a vegetable. So I shared this 24-hour prayer with Pastor Kimberly and Pastor Tim. And she so graciously said, you know, Pastor Lorraine, I'm studying. She was so excited about studying the book of Acts. And she said, there's this chapter in my book I want you to read. And so a lot of what I'm going to share with you now comes from some excerpts from that book. And the chapter she gave me is called Praying Church, We Submit to God. And in the prayer was a central characteristic of the early church. And in Acts, do you have the scriptures back there? Acts chapter 2. It says, and they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to breaking bread and prayer, and awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together. They were in unity. That's what the Lord was telling me too when I was doing that study. We can't have unity without prayer. And had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, and they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those that were being saved. And I think one of the versions talks about later on in the same chapter, there were 5,000 added at one point. I'm just kind of I don't have a verse. It's kind of, I'll give you a verse later, but this was verse 42 to 47, if you need that for that. We'll come back to this scripture as we go along. The word tells us that God hears and delights in the prayers of righteous people. You know, we had guest speakers the whole, with one exception, all the Sundays in February. What was the word that we heard from Jennifer? God hears. It says, he hears and delights in the prayers of the righteous people, of his righteous people. Do you have Proverbs 15, 8, and 29? Okay. It says, the sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord, but the prayer of the upright is his delight. It should be, do you have verse 29? I'll just read this one. The way of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord, but he loves him who follows righteousness. Okay. The Lord is far from the wicked, but he hears the prayers of the righteous. So when we pray, he hears us. James tells us that the faith-filled prayers of a righteous person are powerful and effective. So that's James 5:16. I think I gave that one, but if I didn't, you can just write that down if you're taking a note. Yeah. It says, confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. This is a quote from the chapter that Pastor Kim gave me from E. M. Bounds, a 19th century revivalist. Fit today's church into this. The church today needs praying men to execute her solemn and pressing responsibility to meet the fearful crisis which faces her. The crying need of the time is for God-fearing men, praying men, Holy Ghost men, men who can endure hardship, who will count not their lives dear unto themselves, but count all things but dross for the excellency of the knowledge of Jesus Christ, the Savior. The men who are greatly needed in this age of the church are those who have learned the business of praying, learned it on their knees, learned it in the need and agony of their own hearts. Prayer is a privilege. It's a privileged conversation with God. Prayer is also a challenge to the church today, but it's very much needed. Each one of us can become the courageous, confident, consistent prayer warrior that God has called us to be. So if you have any doubts, get rid of them. If you're called, he can make you confident, courageous, consistent in prayer. Prayer without ceasing. There's a little song, it says, keep on praying in the spirit at all times with all kinds of prayer. And there's so many different kinds of prayer. There are prayers of praise, prayers of thanksgiving, prayers of supplication where we pray for others, petitioning prayers, intercessory prayers, confession prayers. He says that we are to pray at all times with all kinds of prayer. It says in everything, this is 1 Thessalonians 5, 17 through 22. Do you have that one? It says, pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Do not quench the spirit. Do not despise prophecies. Test all things. Hold fast what is good. Abstain from every form of evil. Amen. So we are to give thanks in everything, for this is the will of God. Prayer matters, and we are called to be a praying church, River of Life. We're called to be a praying church, both corporately and individually. We are to keep praying at all times with all kinds of prayer. Amen. This is a little kind of excerpt that was also in this article. And one of the things we have to be careful about, and I'll use their words, but slapping Jesus' name on a prayer, okay? Because, you know, we can pray, but a lot of times, is it really what God wants us to pray? Or is it something that we want and we say in Jesus' name, and then we expect for it to happen, right? So an example in this little outline was, there was a mother in a grocery store with her three-year-old little boy. And, you know, you mothers can identify with this. She, in the car, said to him, "You are not getting any chocolate chip cookies today. Do you understand? Don't ask for chocolate chip cookies." He gets in the store. She puts him in the cart. They're going down the aisle. What is the first thing he does? He asks for chocolate chip cookies. And she says, "No, I told you, you're not getting any." So they are in the store, and, you know, he tries again. He tries a third time, and she says, "No." So now they're at the checkout. He asks again, and she says, "No." And he said, "Can I have some chocolate chip cookies in Jesus' name?" Well, the people around them thought that was really cute. The story says he left the grocery store with 23 boxes of chocolate chip cookies. We don't want to do that. His mom was probably not happy. We don't want to do that at all. We have to be careful how we pray, and that we're praying according to the Word and the Spirit of God. There's another excerpt that was in this book about Charles Haddon Spurgeon. And there was some, you know, he was a great orator and preacher, and probably is known more for his preaching and probably his writing. But he was also a great man of prayer. And some students had come from England and were visiting the campus where he was and decided that they wanted to hear him speak. And so they went into the church, and this man approached them and began a conversation with them. And finally he said, "Would you like a tour of our church? Would you like to see our heating room?" And, you know, they kind of, you know, have you ever been asked a question and you thought, well, okay. So they agreed. And so he took them to a lower part of the church. And he opened a door. And there were 100 people bowing in prayer. And he said, "This is the reason what happens there during the ministry. You know, they are the catalysts for this. These are the people praying in the basement who give the sacrifice." And then he introduced himself to them as Charles Haddon Spurgeon. So even he knew that he couldn't do what he did without the prayers of believers. Pastor Dave and Ina can't do what they are called to do if we're not praying, you know? It's really interesting because this morning I felt like really burdened to pray for, I prayed for both of them, but I felt a burden to pray for him. And I'm glad God gave me that, you know, and others, I'm sure, you sometimes you just get an unction just to pray for them. They need strength, you know, and they need, I think of the powerful words that were spoken over them by Isabel and Thrawn. the other thing is the powerful words that were spoken over us, over our children. We need to steward those things in prayer, you know? It's my hope today that what's being shared will do three things. Remind each of us of the importance of prayer, and it is a part of our identity and an action of the church to increase our commitment to prayer and also increase our understanding of ways to pray and specific prayer focus for River of Life. I'm going to use now as an example of a model prayer, Acts 4. I'm specifically looking at Acts 4, 24 and 30. But in this passage, Peter and John were arrested and threatened for proclaiming the gospel and healing a crippled man in Jesus' name. They were also preaching about the resurrection of Christ. What I want you to hear is the response of the believers once they were released, because if you know that story, they couldn't, the religious people of that day, they couldn't find anything wrong. They said, well, you know, let us meet, and basically they didn't say this, but let us meet so we can figure out what to do with you. And they threatened them, you know, that you're not to speak about this Jesus, you're not to speak in his name, you're not to heal. And so they go back to other believers, and it says in this chapter, the believers lift up their voice to God, and they address him as the sovereign Lord. They prayed that God would grant his servants the ability to continue to speak God's word with boldness. That's what we need today. I think about Pastor Dave and Ina when COVID came, and Pastor Dave said, I'm not closing the church. We did some streaming for several weeks. We did the parking lot. That was cool. Except we have a neighbor that I was so afraid that one Sunday the police would come. But that person stayed in their house, I guess. And some days we were like, I know one Sunday we were out there and people were being encouraged to honk the horns. I said, oh, Lord, Lord, help us. Yeah, but we would be bold, you know. That, and then this part is so significant, that as they prayed with boldness that God would stretch out his hand to heal, and signs and wonders would be performed through the name of Jesus. The world needs to see the healing, the signs and the wonders. God uses us, but it's his stretched out hand that performs, you know? They prayed in response to persecution, and God responded to their prayer. I'm trying to decide, do I keep going or do I stop here? We may need to, because I want to be sensitive of the time. Lord Jesus, tell me what to do. Thank you, Lord. I'm going to do this one little piece and then I'll stop, and then maybe there'll be another opportunity for me to bring a part two, okay? There are four things here that can be modeled for us in prayer. One is that they addressed God, how he revealed himself in Scripture, how he talked about himself. Remember when Isabel was here and she was teaching on prayer, she said, we are praying to holy, holy, holy God. So they knew that, you know? So when they said, sovereign God, They attributed his attributes to him, and these are things that he had said about himself. I know, I don't remember when I started doing it, but sometimes if you hear me pray, I'll say, "You're the Father of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers. You're my and my God." It's sort of like when I say that, I see the things that God did for Abraham. You know, I see the Jewish lineage there. It's sort of like I can see a bigger picture, and I'm just a part of it. We are a part of the bigger picture. And there's been persecution in the church from the beginning. And we should marvel that there's persecution. We should praise. And we would say, "God, give us greater boldness. Give us greater strength. And God, stretch out your hand to heal." You know? Amen. Amen. So I'm going to stop with that. I think the other thing is just remember to pray for the loss. So I'm going to close now and just say that areas for prayer here at River of Life are for Pastor Dave and Ina, for the pastoral team, for finances in our building, our church building, for the various ministries, the youth, our children's ministry, our worship team, the altar team, our ushers and greeters. And under the worship team, I included the singers, the musicians, and the vocalists, okay? The people who are part of hospitality and minister to the sick, cleaners and yard workers, production, sound, and creative arts, for our healing rooms ministry, and for missions. If you are a part of any of those ministries that I just mentioned, would you stand up? Yeah. I think I had children's church. I think I had that on there. Children's church ministry. I might have not read it. Children's church ministry and teachers. And so these are people, the people who are standing are people who've already put their hand to the plow. They're working in this ministry. We need more workers. Amen. What I'd like for us to do today in ending, if you would, let's come together in the front as we pray for Pastor, we pray specifically for Pastor Dave and Ina. Okay, let's close that way today. If you would come up and join me. Amen. And if you need ministry, if you are here and you need ministry, squeeze the person's hand that's